Well, it's so good that you've joined us today. I really believe and pray that this message will inspire you, lift you, and fill you full of faith. I hope you enjoy. I don't know if you've been getting up the last few days, but Melbourne is putting on its very best fresh. And I don't know about you, but I love it because I can get out of bed in the morning like hardly alive and then just open the door and the fresh air does something to you. I love things to be fresh. I don't like things to be stale. I don't like things to be, you know, just stuck in a way. And I like food. For those that have ever heard me speak before, you know that's the case. Dealing with that, you know, vice that I have. But I love ice cream, which is a great sugar high. I don't recommend it, but wow, nothing like a tub of connoisseur ice cream. The whole tub I'm talking about, not just a portion. And also, my vice when it comes to the carbs department would definitely be bread. I love fresh bread. I love going to a bakery and the smell and the... And I know that it's not the greatest thing for me, but oh, and I'm an English boy. Anybody here origins from England? Nobody. Wow, the world is changing. And I was actually born in England and I came out to Australia when I was 6 months old. But there's a tradition in our family, we go to the fish and chip shop. And we don't just have fish and chips, you've got to have fish and chips with fresh buttered bread. We call it a chip butty. Oh, it's lovely. And I just love that taste. But who knows that if you have bread on the second day, I don't know about you, but I'd say to my wife, don't even keep it. Because for me, stale bread is not what I enjoy. I enjoy the freshness of bread. The Bible says in Lamentations 3:23, His mercies are fresh, are new every morning. Not some mornings, not the odd morning, the turn of the day, and His great is His faithfulness. He's been the same God yesterday, today, and forever. He's a fresh God. And in an environment, a season like we're in at the moment, if we're not careful, we can start to live with a mentality that says a little bit stale. What's happening? What's going on in the world? But I want to tell you, our God is fresh. Today, I want to talk to you on the topic of fresh bread. Turn to the person next to you and say, I'd like some bread right now. I can smell it. This passage that I want to read to you is from Exodus chapter 16. And it's the passage really is set here between the children of Israel leaving Egypt and now heading to Canaan. We need to understand that they actually left something behind. In this case, it was Egypt going to Canaan, but it also represents slavery going to freedom. It also represents the present day walking towards the promises of God. And last week we had Pastor Russell speak and he spoke a great message, but he talked about let's go. But he talked about if we're not careful, intimidation and fear can pull us back to where we've come from, can lock us into a place. And I today want to declare over you again, let's go. But how do we actually step out of where we are, where it feels a little stale, and step into a freshness in God, understanding who He is? These people in this book of Exodus have now left Egypt. Interestingly, the Bible says that it was the 15th day of the second month. So in other words, it was actually only 45 days since they had left. But just in this short period of time of 45 days, remember it took them 40 years to get there, in 45 days they're already starting to grumble. They're already starting to be fearful. They're already starting to listen to voices. There's already a sense of where are we going? What's happening? And maybe we could term it today a sense of wandering. In their minds, in their hearts, in their thinking, in their conversations, they're starting to wander away from God's purpose for their life. But today I want to talk to you from this scripture. So if you want to go with me, it's going to be on the screen. It's Exodus 16 and I'm starting in verse 2. In the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, if only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. Remember, this is only 45 days and they've already lost faith. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted. But you have brought us out into this desert to starve the entire assembly to death. I mean, They were slaves and they're thinking about how good the food was. It wasn't that good, that was their memory. And it's so often that we look back and we think how good it was back there. Then the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. Then Moses told Aaron, say to the entire Israelite community, come before the Lord. Sorry, I went to verse 9. Come before the Lord, for he has heard your grumbling. While Aaron was speaking to the whole Israelite community, they looked toward the desert, and there was the glory of the Lord appearing in the cloud. The Lord said to Moses, I have heard the grumbling of the Israelites. Tell them, at twilight you will eat meat, and in the morning you will be filled with bread. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God. That evening quail came and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, what is this? For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, it is the bread, fresh bread the Lord has given you to eat. This is what the Lord has commanded. Everyone is to gather as much as they need. Take an omer for each person you have in your tent. The Israelites did as they were told. Some gathered much, some little. And when they measured it by the omer, the one who gathered much did not have too much, and the one who gathered little did not have too little. Everyone had gathered just as much as they needed. Then Moses said to them, notice right at the end, after they've been told it's going to come every day, then Moses said to them, no one is to keep any of it until morning. However, some of them paid no attention to Moses. They kept part of it until morning, but it was full of maggots and began to smell. So Moses was angry with them. Today, I want to talk to you from the thought of fresh bread, how to stay fresh in the midst of your circumstance. How to stay fresh, whatever is happening in society today, how do we stay fresh in the purposes of God? You see, in Exodus 13, it starts off and we know that they left Egypt. And when they left Egypt, the Bible says that God provided himself in the form of a cloud by day and in a fire by night. So at night they could be led by the light of his fire, and by day there was the sense of they could see him and follow him. But the cloud and the fire is a representation of the presence of the Lord. So we need to understand that right at the start of this journey of letting go, of being a prisoner, of being bound, of being held to something and walking towards the promises and freedom, that they needed to recognize that the first thing that they wanted or needed in their life was to have the presence of God with them. Today, it hasn't changed. I want to say to you, the first thing you need to have in your life to stay fresh is to continue to get into his presence. You need to continue to get into his presence on a daily basis. How am I going to get there? What am I going to do? And so often we can look even at church like this. And you know, when you come back to church, I was in the prayer meeting a few weeks ago, and we used to do prayer meeting via Zoom. And then when we were allowed to have a few people in the room, we do it on the stage here, and 8 or 9 of us come and we do it. And it just changed the context of just being with other people. But I want to tell you, just because it feels different, doesn't mean that his presence isn't always there. You know, we're coming into church like this today and it feels so awesome to be preaching to this great group of people and people all over rooms and auditoriums. But the truth is only 20 people here. But to me, it's great to be in your presence, but oh, what I need is to be in his presence. And we might have had to change the way we do it, but I want you to have a pursuit that says, I want to be in your presence. I want to come into that place knowing who you are. Last week, my daughter, Kim, was she got a phone call from a friend that she hadn't heard from since high school. And I guess she's been out of high school now for, must be 5-6 years. And she had this call from the friend, and that this is one of her friends when she was at Planet Boom that she used to invite on Friday nights. But because they went to a more traditional church, her parents wouldn't allow her to come to Boom. And Kim had a great relationship with her, but she never got to really show her who Jesus was through, you know, the inviting her along to that program. And so this girl rings her and's talking to her about having a tough season in life. And they haven't talked for all this time, but Kim said it was like just nothing had changed. They came back together. But halfway through the conversation, she made this comment. She says, you know, what I really miss is chapel at school. She said, I miss chapel because we used to do praise and worship at, Kim used to went to a Christian school. And to be honest, I've been to some of those chapels. They weren't the most inspiring thing for me. But this girl said she went to chapel and she said every time they sung worship, there was a warmth that came into her heart and she felt good. She said this to Kim on the phone. Kim didn't say it directly to her, but she's like, yeah, you know, that's Holy Spirit coming and leading and guiding. And she said, when people spoke, it was like they were speaking to me. But what was it? She'd come encountered the presence of God. She'd come into His presence and suddenly there was a sense of being fresh. There was a sense of it's a new day. There's new possibility in His presence is where it begins. The journey for us when maybe we've been wandering a little, maybe we've been turning a little. Exodus 16 verse 2 says this, in the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, if only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat, ate all the food we wanted, but you have brought us out into the desert to starve this entire assembly to death. Then the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down. Did you notice God didn't speak to the people? God spoke to Moses. Why? Because Moses and Aaron's proximity was close to God. If you remember, they start worshiping idols a little later on. And who does God speak to? He speaks to Moses on the mountain. Why? Because Moses continued to get his proximity close to God. It's something we need to do, not waiting for God to come and do it for us. He's waiting. He's always there. The pillar is always there. He needs us to pursue His presence. And then it says in verse 9, then Moses told Aaron, say to the entire Israelite community, come before the Lord, for He has heard your grumbling. While Aaron was speaking to the whole Israelite community, they looked toward the desert and there was the glory of the Lord appearing in the cloud. It's interesting because for the whole 45 days, the glory of the Lord had been there. But on this occasion, remember the Bible says in the same scripture, they were in the desert, but then it says, they looked towards the desert. Why the desert and the desert? I looked at this, I thought, why is the desert and the desert there? But the commentators of the time would say that the reason that there was a desert, because desert represents, the wording in the Old Testament represents an isolated place. So they're standing in a desert, but they're looking towards God. He's in an isolated place to them. He's there, He's visual, but they're removed from Him. Their proximity isn't close to God. So guess what? God doesn't speak to them. You see, if we're going to stay fresh, we've got to get into His presence. But when we're in His presence, it always leads to Him speaking to us. How often have you been in worship and God just says something to you? But yet when you're at work all week and you were doing what you're doing, you just couldn't see through all the fog. But just in that moment, oh, He speaks. Suddenly nothing changes, but everything changes. I was at the prayer meeting on, it's funny to say, I was at the prayer meeting on Wednesday. What that means is I was walking around my lounge room in my pajamas at 7 o'clock in the morning because I wasn't rostered on to be here. So I was in the prayer meeting. But isn't it funny how you can do Zoom and people talk about it being hollow. People talk about all the disconnect and there's an element of truth to that. But who knows that when we're talking about His presence, you can be sitting in your lounge room right now and He's there. You can be in an Empower Center right now and He's there. You can be right here in this building, He's here because His presence is there if you push in by proximity. But I was in my lounge room and Pastor Andy got up to pray, I think for Boom or something, I can't remember. Maybe he got up to pray for the presence of God actually. Now I think about it, I can't remember. But the point was, it wasn't Pastor Andy speaking to me. I don't know if you've experienced this. It was God speaking to me. He just made this statement and it was in the context of, if you remember last week, Saturday, our Premier got up and said, we're not going further. We're actually going to restrict further. We're going to allow only 5 people, you know, in homes again. And we're going to do, and it was like last week, it was like, oh, we're moving. Oh, we're going backwards. And with that in mind, he said 5 people. But Pastor Andy made this statement as he was leading the prayer meeting. He said, we might have been told that we can only have 5 people in our houses and we have to live with that. But we must remember that the Bible says where 2 or 3 are gathered in my name, it can be done.
And I started, just that little statement was like a word from God to say, hey, don't allow a natural limitation to become a supernatural limitation. We got a God who goes beyond. But you see, a word is spoken when we're in the presence of God. How often are you in the presence of God? How often are you setting yourself up to be in His proximity? You see, we need to hear the prophetic word. God declares His word. Often on the journey, many lose sight of the destination and start to wander. We wander in our minds. We wander in our spirits. We wander in our conversations. And suddenly, rather than focusing on the promise, focusing on the freedom, we start looking back at Egypt. We start looking back at the problem and what we were anchored to. And we miss that God has a great future for us. How many voices are out there at the moment? Wow, if you watch the news, they have an expert on everything, and just about every expert on everything says the opposite to the other expert on the same thing. And it's like, this is confusing. You know, I've had to limit what I watch on the news because it can actually start to dictate and speak to you, voices all around. What you need is a word from God for your situation. What you need is God to speak. But you can only have Him speak if you're in His proximity. Often we hear many voices, but what we need is His word. You know, when I was in PNG, and I've told this story before, but in the context of this conversation, I got off a plane and we'd booked this national stadium and they told us we couldn't have it as I got off the plane. The next conversation I had was with Pastor Scott, who was in Leh, which is, you know, about a 2-hour flight away. And we were having another regional event and he told us we can't have the venue or the field that we'd booked. And then I got told that some of our key team were having visa issues. We'd never had visa issues before. And right at that moment, I've got all these voices. They weren't negative. They weren't trying. They were just giving me information. But who knows that the enemy can take information and he can turn it into, how can we do this? What are we going to do? And before long, fear can set in and we can't step into what we were purposed to do. And here I was, and I was standing, I remember, in a lift well of the hotel I was at. And I was standing in this lift well and I had all these thoughts going through my head. And literally, I said, God, what are we going to do? I drew into His presence. I got into His proximity. It wasn't praise and worship. It wasn't church. It was a lift well with no atmosphere. Oh, but He was there. His presence is always there if we draw near. And He just spoke these words, ring the youth sport and health, youth sport and recreation minister of the government. I didn't know the youth sport and recreation minister. You know, sometimes the way Pastor Russell and others speak on stage, I know all the ministers and all that. No, I didn't know them. But I have this sense that my God appointed all of them. So if He tells me to approach them, He's going to go before me. So I rung his office and didn't get through to him, spoke to an assistant. And I said, here's our dilemma. You know, we booked this venue and you've taken it off us. She said, leave it with me. A few hours later, the ring back. The minister has said he's going to override FIFA's decision to say you can't use the Oval, which is a huge deal in itself. And we had the Oval and we had a great move of God. In Leh, they gave us a better Oval. You know, the people with visa issues got through. But it came from a word. It wasn't a word, thus saith the Lord. It was a word, ring the minister. But I want to tell you that God's got the solution. He's got the answer. He's got you covered. You just need to draw into His presence and a word will be spoken. But you've got to be careful that you're not wandering and listening to every other voice in the atmosphere except His voice. He's got a word for your health. He's got a word for your finance. He's got a word for your family. He wants to speak into your circumstance today. But the question is, are you listening? You see, fear sets in because of the grumbling of the people. The grumbling of the people in this context is louder than the word. Aaron and Moses hear the word, but even when they speak what God has said, the people don't listen. They actually do their own thing. And so often we talk to people who God is speaking, but they end up taking it into their own hands. Why? Because when we're out of control or we feel out of control, we actually want to control. I'm going to hold on to some food. I'm going to hold on to a little for myself just in case it doesn't work. But I want you to understand, we as humans were not designed to be in control. There is nothing about what's happening in society today that most of us have any control over. So all we need to do is look to the one who's in close proximity and get a word from him and step into what he has purposed for us. They held on, and guess what happened? The smell of and maggots came. They held on. They were told not to hold on. The word, in fact, the whole purpose of this was not to God to show them that He could supply for them. So much of our life is determined by what we get. We live in such a materialistic environment. We must be blessed if we have something. Or they're not blessed. They don't have something. We've got to break that mentality. Because, you know, Paul made it very clear, whether we have or we have not, you know, we abound not. We keep trusting God. We keep believing that He's in control. And in this context here, the smell, the maggots, there's nothing worse than stale bread. There's nothing worse than when it's not quite fresh. And then there is something worse when there's maggots on it. Maggots actually attach themselves to decaying matter. So in other words, we need to understand what the literal translation of this is death attached itself to the bread. You see, if we actually step outside of what God's word is for our life, what God is saying for our life, then we step into death. That's what sin is all about. When we step outside of His covering, we step into sin, and sin is death. But the bridge between death and life is trusting in Jesus. And so it's important that we come into His presence, get His word, and then step into all He has for us. The word was simple. Don't hold on to it. Don't store it up. Whew. In this season, it's like, well, shouldn't we hold on to something? We don't know what's going to happen. No, no, keep trusting Him. He's the same God. He's going to come through for you. He's a faithful God. His mercies are new every morning. You know, He is a God that's going to come through. If you don't hear and obey the word of Lord, decay sets in. It's the death of the miracle. It's the beginning of the end. What was fresh one day smells and is stale the next. Your life was purposed to be fresh every day. God's got a new day waiting for you, a new purpose waiting for you. Step into it. The third thing is, we need to not worry about provision. We need to expect provision. Seek first the kingdom of God and these things will be added. It's an automated process when you actually put Him first. You need to understand that He's a faithful Father, but we live on a daily basis with what's going to happen here, and I'm losing my job and I don't have as many clients, and what's going to happen with that contract, and I don't know how it's going to be with the bank, and what's going to happen with my house. And so much of our life is around provision. But we need to remember that God's in control. We're not. Even when we've got a false economy believing we are in control, He's in control, we're not. So we need to expect provision, but to come into an expectation that He's going to provide for us, we need to have an outlook that He's prepared to put our head on the pillow at night and say, I don't know how I'm going to be fed tomorrow, but I know God's in control. These people couldn't do that. Some of them had to keep some stored up, and the next day death attached itself to it. Hear the word of the Lord to you today. Trust Him. Hear the word of the Lord today. He's faithful. He's going to come through in your circumstance, whatever it might be. Then Moses said to them, no one is to keep any of it until the morning. See, fear is a hold on mentality. It's a grip mentality. It's a take hold. And they say if you hold something tight enough, in the end you'll lose it because it'll slip out of your grip because you just can't hold. We're not designed to hold on to things forever. That's why people who are hanging from something in the end let go, because they can't do so. We, same spiritually, we're not designed to hold on. We're actually designed to be a conduit where stuff comes to us and through us, not we hold on to things. He designed the process for us to receive and to release. It let it come to you and go through you. You are not a reservoir, but a river. You are not a dam, but you are a conduit. It's not yours. It's entrusted to you for a season. Let it go. Sounds very much like last week. Let's go. But you see, let's go is letting go of the past. Egypt, you're gone. Slavery, you're gone. Where we were yesterday, you're gone. We're stepping into our future, into our freedom, into all God has for us. And therefore, we've got to let it go. Let's go in the purposes of God. We need to learn what it is to hold things loosely. Oh, it's so hard for us in our humanity. Hold things loosely. There's been a diagnosis over your life.
Come on, let's dare to believe that God's going to come through. There's a financial challenge. This week, the company said, I'm only going to get 60% of my pay. Well, God hasn't changed. He's still going to be your provider, whether it's through that boss or it's through another mean. He's going to come through for you. Hold things loosely. Hear and obey. Receive and release. When the dew was gone, you can take your seats. Thin flakes. Thanks, Joth, you can come. When the dew was gone, thin flakes like frost on the ground appeared on the desert floor. When the Israelites saw it, they said to each other, what is it? So here's the supply that God has brought, and they don't even know what it is because it's not the way He's always done it. God didn't set this up to show them that He was powerful. He set them up to show Him that He was dependable, that He was going to come through over and over again. And He didn't want them to see it in the form they'd always seen it, because they'd start trusting the form rather than the Maker. And in this place, it's important to understand that they then said, what is this? And they ultimately called it mammon. What is the literal translation of mammon? A gift. Every day God was going to bring them a gift. Every day it was going to be a little bit different, but it was going to be a gift. But notice something about a gift. It's freely given. No strings attached. Not earned. Not something you've done or haven't done. He didn't pay or sacrifice for it. He did. We didn't pay for it. He did. So who are we to tell Him how we want the gift? What the gift should look like? How it should be? All we've got to do is position ourselves to be in His proximity, to be in His presence. All we've got to do is position ourselves to hear His word, and then we should expect provision is going to fall. I want to tell you, stop focusing on provision. Stop focusing on what do we get. Start focusing on Him and let Him take care of the rest. It's fortuitous that in a season like this, Pastor Russell would say, you know what, I feel like God is telling us we need to take a miracle offering. Because it's saying to each and every one of us that attempted to hold on, to let go and trust Him. You're not in control anyway, He is. So allow Him to come. How do you get fresh bread and keep it fresh? How do you keep the stench of sin and death away? How do you see God's promises fulfilled? His provision. Don't rely on the gift, look to the giver. The prophetic, stop listening to many voices. Just position yourself to hear His voice. But where does it start? How do you start and then stay fresh? How do you continue to eat fresh bread? His presence. Ooh, His presence. Wherever you are right now, I want you to stand to your feet. Because this isn't a message just to inspire you today. This is a message to position you. If you've been wondering, things become stale. Oh, come on, get in right proximity. Don't see Him across the desert in an isolated place. Don't make it about religion. We can come back into a room like this and suddenly, this is how we've always experienced it. Maybe God's been wanting you to experience Him at a different level in this season. Because He wants you to remember that His proximity is always right there. He's with you. He's got a word for you. And you can expect that He's always going to look after you. He's a faithful, faithful God. His mercies, they're new, they're fresh. Fresh bread every morning. Great, great, great is His faithfulness. Hey, it's been so great that you've been able to join us today. I hope that your faith is filled. If you have any prayer requests or you want to connect with us any further at Planet Shakers, why don't you be a part of it?